Good morning. Made it, day five of Ignite. Hope everyone's having a good time. My name is Brian. I'm joined here by Mike, Jeremy, and Karan. And we want to spend some time this morning talking to you about how we manage change and communicate releases within Office 365. We'll start out an overview of how we communicate change, look at our change management toolkit, talk to you about how we collect feedback, what we've heard, and what we do with that feedback. Really demonstrate that we are listening. Then we'll transition into talking about our change strategy, really how within Microsoft we think about developing new features and functionality, new applications and services, and then some of the key investments and where we've improved in the past year, as well as showing some of the conceptual designs of where we want to go over the coming months. As we get started, it would be actually quite helpful to get a little bit of a sense of who's in the room with us here. So by a show of hands, how many of you consider yourself IT pros? Okay, looks like a majority. How many IT decision makers? All right. And business decision makers are aligned with the business closely? Great. And regardless of your function of your role, how many of you work for organizations or working companies that focus the business on upgrading software? A couple. So the reason that I ask is that when we think about Office 365 as a productivity suite of services enabling collaboration, we talk to the organizations about how they use the software, how they think about the IT infrastructure, and most of the time, kind of like we see here in the room, most people don't actually do that as their core business. In fact, what we frequently hear when we talk to organizations is things like what this organization told us. We just want to sell socks. Our business is not actually IT. We may work in IT, we may manage the systems that empower our business, but at the end of the day, retail customers sell socks, they sell clothing, they sell shoes. The IT infrastructure, the services, the technology that we manage and deploy and train our users to consume are really intended to further those goals. And that's truly how we think about Office 365. Rather than focusing really on how we want you to manage the infrastructure, that's our responsibility. That's what we've taken on as a service provider. And our intention is to provide you with services and technology that empowers you to further your business goals. So when we think of it in that context, let's also look at Microsoft's traditional approach to deploying, releasing, and frankly, selling software. As many of you are probably familiar, every 18 to 36 months, we would release a new version of our products. Every 3 years, we would have a new server version, Exchange 2007, Exchange 2010, Exchange 2013, and managing these upgrades can be quite disruptive to users and to your business. They're expensive projects. I suspect many of you are familiar with this. Cumulative updates, service packs, Patch Tuesday. You manage all of these in an ITIL-based organization. You probably deploy them first into a pre-production space. And what we often saw with organizations running Microsoft software is that sometimes these projects were big and costly, and organizations waited to the next version. That causes even greater disruption to the users. Maybe there's a new user interface now when you upgrade and log back into Outlook on the web, or your SharePoint sites look drastically different. URLs and bookmarks that your users are familiar with may now need to be refreshed, and it can be quite disruptive to a business. That's why with Office 365, we've taken an approach of iterative updates. On an ongoing basis, we make improvements to the features and functionality so that in these bite-sized chunks, they're much easier to consume. In my personal experience, if I get a new feature within Outlook, I might go learn about that, but when the entire Outlook interface changes, that can be quite confusing. And we've built Office 365 to manage releases in this manner. When we think about running a hyperscale global set of infrastructure, we have more than 100 data centers around the globe, tens of thousands of servers, and it's a fundamentally different paradigm for Microsoft as well as for organizations using Office 365 from what we're used to. We've actually designed the service from the ground up to be highly available, resilient, redundant, and the environments run in an active topology such that we can actually take servers in and out of rotation, upgrade them, and put them back in without any downtime. We've effectively made the concept of maintenance windows obsolete. And this is quite important because there isn't really a nighttime on a global scale. If it's night in the United States, it's daytime somewhere else. If it's nighttime in Australia, maybe it's daytime in South America. So there's never actually an acceptable time to take down the service. And so we've built it in a way that we can seamlessly roll out these updates to your organizations so that we can give you this new functionality, these new collaboration scenarios. And we're doing it quite frequently. In the last year, we've released more than 350 new features and new functionality. And we think of these in a couple of different categories. The first is new services and applications, things like Planner, Sway. They show up in the app launcher, they're a tile there, you can manage them via licenses on a per user basis. Then within each of these services, we also evolve the features and the functionality, finding ever easier and more pleasant experiences to deliver to your users and to your organizations. New data loss prevention policies within the Security and Compliance Center. The new and improved modern document libraries within SharePoint Online. Then there's also the part that Microsoft's responsible for that we handle in the background. Enhancements to performance so that sites load slightly faster, so that your users have a better experience when using Outlook connected to Exchange Online. And then, of course, security. Office 365, all of our development teams, our product teams, everyone at Microsoft, security is built into our DNA, and we are consistently managing the infrastructure and the applications to be the utmost secure platform we can provide. And then occasionally we do also communicate compatibility scenarios and deprecations. These are communicated as far in advance as possible so that you can take action where it's necessary. A couple of examples of some of these changes that we've made in the service over the past year are also bucketized in ways that become much more manageable. So when I mentioned new applications and services, in the past year we've released about 15 of these. I mentioned Planner, we also see Power BI, Delve Analytics, now called My Analytics. We've refreshed the Admin Center, we released the Security and Compliance Center. These new powerful features and innovations within the existing services also come out on a very frequent basis. And when we talk to organizations and when we hear feedback from customers like you, we also know that it's a paradigm shift for you as well. Moving to the cloud, you don't have to manage these updates. You don't have to test every patch that is deployed. And this energy company in particular mentioned that they've decided, they've taken an approach slightly different from a traditional ITIL approach with a change advisory board, a CAB. And they don't micromanage those releases. Rather, they communicate, they support, and they enable, but they let the software evolve as it goes. And so Microsoft provides you with tools to help enable this experience. We have what we think of as our change management toolkit so that we can communicate clearly when action is required, when you should be informed, as well as keeping you up to date on our strategy and the direction that we're heading. The Office blog is where we provide announcements and news. I think of this as the Office 365 newspaper. I start out every Monday, I go in and I read the Office blog. I see what's new. I hear cool stories about how different organizations are using Office 365 to further their business goals. When you want to see a future view into some of the work that's being developed, some of the new features and functionality to find out what may be upcoming for your business, we look at the Office 365 roadmap where there's filters and the searchability. This goes in a much more granular feature by feature, functionality by functionality approach than the Office blog. But then we also know that it's important to you to understand what's coming to your tenant, what's coming to your users, and what do you need to do about it. The Message Center is where we communicate all of this. Right within the product, because it's tied to your tenant, your organization's identity, and the subscriptions that you have activated, we're able to communicate to you based on what you need to know. And of course, we're not always at our computer. In fact, frankly, right now, almost none of us are. But I suspect every one of us, or very close to it, are carrying a mobile device. I personally feel a little bit naked without mine. And on my mobile device, I have the Office 365 admin app. With push notifications, I can stay informed of the health of my environment. And within the admin app, we also have the message center. So that if you're at the airport later today or tomorrow flying back home, you can check out the messages, what's being communicated to you about Office 365. We really want to make sure that we can keep you informed wherever you are, however you want to consume the information, to meet your needs the best. I'm going to invite Mike Ziak up to share a little bit about how we collect your feedback and what we're hearing. And before we do so, I'm going to share a video that goes into a bit of detail on first release and first release select people, the release options within Office 365.
Office 365 is an evergreen service, continually improving based on your feedback and needs. Office 365 lets you control how your organization receives those updates to better manage your service. There are two different options for how updates are released in Office 365. You and your colleagues will receive updates differently based on whether you choose standard release or first release. If you choose standard release, an update will roll out to your organization a week at the earliest, but usually a few weeks after it's been released. In first release, you can choose either your entire organization or select people to receive updates early. Choosing entire organization means that everyone using Office 365 will receive updates earlier. Choosing select people, you have the most control. You can select people to receive updates before everyone else so that you can engage first release people to try out new features and prepare your organization for updates. Decide which option works best for you and your organization. Log into the Office 365 Admin Center, choose the Select People option, and start receiving updates early.
Good morning. My name is Michael Ziak, and my organization is actually responsible for delivering incident and change communications for Office 365. So it is my team that has the accountability of making sure that you're informed when we have a service issue or when we're providing you updates to the service. Now, as I call out the fact that we're listening, I categorize that a little bit as we think we're listening. We think we're delivering the things that you're looking for. And as Jeremy and Karan come up, I'll actually show you some great features within the service where you can deliver us information directly to the engineering team. And I'll talk a little bit about how we collect and curate that information. Now, there are a number of ways that we're listening and improving how we deliver change communications. Let me first ask a question of the audience. How many people in here have more than 250 seats on top of Office 365? Okay, vast majority. Just a quick question, how many above 5,000? Okay, awesome. So first off, thank everybody for your business, and thank you for making it to Friday and having a session that actually has people in it. I really appreciate it. Shows the interest that customers have. And when you look at change, certainly when you get above 500 seats, when you're approaching 1,000, 5,000 seats, you have organizational governance that kicks in. And a little bit of what I want to talk about as well is how to change the thinking and how to apply change in the cloud. Now, Brian had talked about the fact that we deliver this sort of stair-step function. I can tell you when you trip over a stair and bang your knee, it still hurts. It may not hurt as much as falling off a cliff, but ultimately, if we're giving you stair steps, we need to make sure that we're not causing you trips on every step of on the way up as we upgrade the service. And so within that, we're trying to listen to the feedback that you give us regarding the service. Now, there are a few ways that we do this. Because I saw a large number of hands in the larger space, you have technical account managers. Your technical account manager should be reviewing service performance. We do something called a pulse survey. We capture your feedback. Every one of the pieces of feedback that you give us as a large customer is reviewed and actioned and categorized within the operation of the service. For any customer, we provide you capabilities to be able to provide feedback within messaging, the message center. And then ultimately, we've got a number of other mechanisms for you to capture feedback, including community, Yammer, et cetera. And I would encourage everybody in this room to take advantage of the feedback channels. The one thing that Microsoft has done in moving to the cloud is we've moved to the DevOps model. And in simple form, the DevOps model follows a principle that says the engineers that write the code are the ones that manage and operate the service. So in the olden days, you used to provide feedback to the TAM would get it in, or you'd provide it into support, support would aggregate that information. When you submit something within Message Center, as an example, it goes directly to the engineer. As we're reviewing the CPE pulse data that comes from our larger customers via the TAM, it's not going into support for them to look at and orchestrate. It's coming straight into the engineering organization, and we're reviewing and taking action on it. So I encourage you, in a very strong sense, to take advantage of that, because we're ultimately making changes to the service, and because we've got this rapid capability of updating it, as you give us feedback, we're actually making changes on the fly rather than wait for service pack one, which will be out in a year. Now, when you look, we do have some positive feedback that we've gotten from our customers. And I call that out just because ultimately we are on a journey. As we collect feedback from customers, certainly we're mostly focused on that feedback that says, hey, this isn't what I expected with regard to the change. It didn't operate as I expected. You did a really bad job of communicating it. But on the flip side, we're also looking at that feedback that says, hey, we're going in the right direction. And I want to call out that the service very much, as you look at that stair function, as we go up and deliver more and more features, we're doing the same thing in the change and incident space. We have dedicated engineers that are focused on delivering capabilities in that space. And so ultimately, you're going to continue to drive us forward. And where we are today, we will be better in 6 months, we'll be better in a year. And the goal is ultimately to evolve how we deliver incident and change communications to meet the evolving needs of you as a customer and how the service operates. Now, one of the things that we recognized, and again, as I talk to the customer base in here, you represent probably the smallest customer up through some of the largest enterprises in the world. We recognized for those larger customers that how we were operating the service is, Brian indicated, hey, we've got tens of thousands, actually hundreds of thousands of servers around the world. We have to operate it differently, but we can't operate it at your expense. And so ultimately, yes, we have to invest in engineering that allows us to deploy code to hundreds of thousands of devices within the environment. But on the flip side, that can't be done in a way that breaks your business. And so ultimately, what we've done is implemented something within the within Microsoft called the Office 365 Change Council. And its function is to look at those features that we're delivering to you. How many people remember clutter as a feature? Great. How many people in the room think we did a fantastic job of releasing that and communicating it to you? Okay, great. Okay, I should have asked the how many of you do not ask. It is a double negative, so it could take. I think that expresses the problem. Clutter was, it's an older feature now when you look at the speed of the service, and clutter was the reason that we implemented the Change Council. We have a lot of engineers that are working on innovation on your user's behalf, on your behalf, but ultimately, the failure that it exposed, I don't have control over it. How dare you release a feature directly to my end users without my involvement? You created a whole bunch of support cases within my organization and didn't think about it. That's what the Change Council is designed to deal with. We are bringing through the service engineering teams. We're looking at the features that they are releasing. And then we're looking to make sure that we've got timely, targeted, and accurate information to deliver to you as customers so you can understand that feature set. Now, ultimately, what we're doing is we're acting on your behalf. And again, as I describe it, the goal is to make sure that you as the IT pro are empowered for your customers, that you're not caught on your back foot as a what the heck is this? And then ultimately, to make sure that we're thinking about the features and their capabilities. If you look at the last point on the left-hand side, we are monitoring the likes and dislikes of every feature that is coming into the environment. And as we get feedback, we're actually determining whether or not we need to change it, whether or not we should maybe slow down the deployment of that feature, et cetera. And so again, I encourage you to take advantage of that feedback channel that we provide. Now, on the right-hand side, this is about what we're doing to advocate on your behalf. How do you control the feature? What's the end user experience? Do you have the capability of being able to enable, disable? What is the communication that a user may see? If I have something like Delve disabled, what happens within SharePoint when I'm engaging the service? We're asking these questions, and then we're updating and managing the communications to actually deliver a better message to you as customers. Now, I describe this change counsel under the context and caveat of the fact that this is a process overlay. It is with the recognition that our engineering teams aren't perfect, and it's with the recognition that our service is evolving. But when Karan and Jeremy come up, they're going to be talking to you at a different level, which is ultimately where we really want to get to, which is the engineering systems that manage this and deliver to you information about the changes and give you the controls and capabilities with regard to those changes, because ultimately, this function is not perfect. I call it out. The thing that I do want you to take away from this session is if we don't get it right, we have listening channels to get better at it, and we are going to continue to innovate, and we're going to continue to commit to you our capability to deliver change in a non-disruptive way. Now, ultimately, when you provide us that feedback, we're updating our communications model, and so ultimately, as you give us that feedback, think about what it is that you didn't like about the change. Was it the feature that it didn't meet your user's needs? It was difficult to understand. We did a bad job of communicating it. We didn't give you any help documentation, et cetera. Or we didn't give you enough time to prepare for that change. All of these things are features that we're delivering in our message center that we allow for you to communicate back to us. Now, ultimately, the roadmap is the thing that I want everyone to understand as a vehicle by which to take feedback into your organization about the features that we're releasing. One key thing that I want everybody in this room to understand is your role with regard to how services are delivered is changing. If you think about classic IT, you're upgrading servers, you're patching those servers, you've got an enormous amount of control, but there may not be as much investment in the feature set. We're finding the companies that are successfully using and deploying Office 365, taking advantage of the features that we're delivering, are pivoting on capabilities and scenarios. And the IT pros are generally, I have found, the best experts as to what your company is doing. If I ask for a show of hands, nobody in this room is in the business of running an email service. We're doing that for you. It's critical to your business. But you, as the IT pros, probably understand better than anybody else in your organization how your organization interoperates with one another, how finance talks to HR, how it talks to your engineering teams, et cetera. And when you look at that, what you want to do is start to learn how the features enable your organization to operate more efficiently. And then look at the roadmap and the message center, not as a, oh God, here comes another change, but how is my organization going to use that change? And there are a lot of ways that you can start to look at changing how you consume change in a model where you're really focused on the scenarios and end user enablement. Now, we're ultimately providing you data on the roadmap. We're updating it weekly for you. We used to be monthly. We got feedback that said that's not frequent enough. And so now we're giving you updates on a weekly basis. We're doing a better job of moving changes from deployed to previously deployed so the freshness of the roadmap is kept up to date. And then we're giving you filters. Those filters are designed so if you are a SharePoint IT pro, we want you to be able to extract out all of the Exchange information, for example, and only focus on SharePoint. So again, as we move forward with regard to this, I really want you to understand that as we're evolving, yes, we are taking your feedback, but you're having to change how you operate as well. And that comes both from the standpoint of how you exist as an IT organization, and more importantly, I believe that it really is about this sort of foundational belief that you now can become ambassadors of change, the advocates and proponents of capabilities that are being delivered, and making your end users more successful and happy with their use of the service. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeremy. who's going to talk to you a little bit more from the engineering perspective. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. So hi, so I'm Jeremy D'Souza. I've been at Microsoft for about 10 years, and I currently lead a product team that is focused on making the end-to-end experience about change better for you as customers, as well as for our product teams and developers at Microsoft. So, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about our change mission. So as a product team inside the company, we believe our really main and principal goal is to enable awesome new features, great new apps and service to get to you and your customers, your users, quickly, without the least amount of disruption possible. And so, you know, we've thought a lot about what we need to do to make that happen, and we've sort of broken that up into three key things. The first is an agile feature development and deployment platform. Really what this is about is code and processes that allow our product and engineering teams to build in an agile fashion, iteratively build out our features, and incorporate feedback at every step of the process from customers. So when features get to you, they're both high quality, and the scenarios that we're trying to enable actually help your users get things done. The second thing is something that, you know, you've heard about a little bit in the talk so far, is change communication and preparedness. So we want to keep you aware of changes that are coming early, often, and also at the right time, and give you early warnings so you're aware of them before your users actually see them. And we also want to make it easy for you to try things out. So you heard about our first release program. We had the video earlier. That's the place where we'd like you to try features out, give us feedback about the scenarios themselves, as well as the impact on change. Excuse me. And the third portion is change policies and guidance. So this is really about setting clear expectations to you as customers about what are different types of changes that you'll see, what is the impact of those changes, both in terms of your users as well as the actions you have to take. And it's also about the guidance that we give to our development teams in terms of how they plan for change and think not just about the scenarios they want to light up, but also about the work they have to get you to do and how much time they should plan to give you, you know, to look at it before it gets to your users. So we arrived at sort of those three buckets of work by thinking about, you know, the end-to-end software development lifecycle of Microsoft and really realizing that we need to attack making change better at each step of that process. So the first part, listen and plan, is where we first think it's best to get off on the right foot. So our teams need to think about, you know, what customer problems they're solving, and this is exactly where the Change Console comes in to, excuse me. This is exactly where the Change Council comes in giving teams early guidance about what to do and factoring changes into the process. Then we get to the design and build phase and validation. And here's where we really iterate a lot on what the features look like, as well as integrating feedback in various forms. But it's critical for us to actually go incrementally on both those vectors. And then finally, when we're getting ready to tell you about change, we want to think about the best way to get that information to you and give you chances to try it out. So I'll speak a little bit about the different parts of that process. And so when we listen and plan, this is the portion where really we figure out what we should do and why we should do it. So we go through a process of synthesizing information from different sources. We spend a lot of time speaking to customers, understanding, you know, the various things they're doing in their verticals, what's going well, what isn't. We look at user feedback. We have different channels like user voice. We have forums and communities. We look at those inputs and try to understand what our customers are saying, what are they feeling, what have we missed. And so we build a holistic model of, you know, market opportunity, product requirements, user feedback, and look at that from a qualitative and quantitative perspective. But this is exactly the point where we want teams to first think about change. So as teams build out their roadmaps, you know, the Change Management Council is part of that process to help them think about, hey, if I'm, you know, creating something complex that's going to need training, have we provided the right amount of training to you as admins and IT pros to actually educate your users and pass that on? if we're creating apps with a lot of data, are we thinking, you know, have the teams thought about where they're actually storing that? What are the implications in different markets, geographies, and whatnot? And then ultimately, will we need you to take action? These are the kind of things which we think need to happen early in the process. And then after we've sort of figured out what we want to do, why we want to do it, we move to designing and building the product. It's really exciting, portion of the product for me. You know, the motto is really to be agile, right? And agility for us means not just how quickly we write code and get it to you as a finished product, but also the ability to respond to evolving requirements, evolving feedback, and integrate that in a seamless way. And so, you know, we like to think that we design the product, we start from a sketch and get to a concept, and then get to a prototype. And that process, you know, we like to learn by building, right? But learning by building to us does not mean that we should release something with a bunch of bugs or missing scenarios. It means that we think really constructively and intentfully about what specific ways we can check our success and see how we're doing along the way. And so the key follow-on to that is that, you know, we design key metrics that we can actually use to keep track of how we're doing as we're iterating on new concepts and features. And those metrics often are focused on basic usage, who's using it, who's not using it, what does the general availability look like, and then also the task completeness. So, you know, we look at those two things together, and that helps us, you know, build confidence that we're iterating the right way. So then we move on to releasing and validating. And we have this both process and engineering concept in Microsoft called the rings of validation. And really what the rings are concentric audiences that get larger for our features. And essentially, these rings, compose the exposure of our features to different audiences. And as the features progress through rings, we validate both quality and key usage metrics that we've designed, as I showed you in the previous slide. And those, at each of these rings, we also incorporate user feedback back into the product. So, you know, taking you through that, if we started from a sketch on the previous screen and actually then built out initial concept and an early MVP working prototype, we'd go and check that in at the in ring zero, and the feature team would be playing with that. So the team is then, you know, using that feature, fleshing out bugs, making sure the scenario is complete, and once they feel confident about that, the code will progress to the next ring, which is the Office 365 team. So now you can see a feature having been built iteratively is moving to a much bigger audience. So now the expectation is the quality's gotten better, there are fewer bugs, and you know, our employees across the Office 365 team, which is a pretty large number of people, don't want to be disrupted day to day in terms of their productivity. So we start getting more feedback about you know, pretty direct and blunt feedback about how well our features are working at that point. And so after we spend some time there, and the time we spend in each ring really varies based on the scale of the change and what we're exactly trying to do. So after some time in that ring, we move on to Microsoft. And now the bar gets even higher, because now if you do something wrong, you could be breaking Satya's email. So, you know, the expectation is that there are far fewer bugs, far fewer regressions caused by productivity features. But the opportunity for us is really the feedback. So Microsoft is a global company. We have employees all over the world working in different, you know, with different partners and different verticals. And this is exactly where we get really interesting feedback that completes the scenarios. So we start to get feedback that really maps to a lot more of our customers, you know, outside Microsoft. And so after features spend some time in this ring, and we feel that we're at production quality, that's when these features move on to the first release ring. This is where you saw the video earlier about first release into our organization and select people. So if you've enrolled in select people, now you have an opportunity to see features early and give us feedback. And the feedback that we're interested in is both feedback about how well the features work, how well they've been designed, will they do what they were intended to do, but also we're interested in change-specific feedback. So have we provided the right level of documentation? Has the scope, have we anticipated this scope of impact to your organizations? After the feature spent some time there and we've incorporated your feedback, we would feel ready to move on to a worldwide audience. And so really this progression through these rings of validation is what gives us confidence and gives our teams confidence that we've built the right scenario, right features to solve customer problems accurately. We've got the right level of quality, and we've also got the right level of input from our customers. And at that point, we feel good about moving on to your users. So how do we announce change? So you've seen that we have different channels, and they're a little targeted. Each one is a little targeted to accomplish slightly different things. But the one that I'll talk about is the Message Center. So as a customer of Office 365, the Message Center is really where we'd like you to be going to get an authenticated roadmap experience. So you see change, you see tenant-specific insights and change communications in that application. And so I'm going to take you through some of the features that we've added in Message Center in response to feedback from the last Ignite. So Brian mentioned feeling a little bit naked without his phone, and I don't know that I feel that way, but I certainly rely on my phone a lot to stay on top of, you know, everything that's going on. And so the feedback that we've gotten from customers is, today they've got to do a lot of work to understand and stay on top of change. You've got to go log in. It's more of a pull model where you have to go and pull the system. And so we've added notifications as one way that we can start pushing, you know, updates to you. And if you see a notification about a change, you can jump into that post and learn more about it. If you want to go back to whatever you're doing, you can, or you can deep dive into the Message Center and sort of manage the updates from your phone. So the idea is stay on top of change on the go and manage items, you know, if you can, from wherever you want to be. I know there's been some other talks about the admin portal, so there is a new admin portal that's been announced, and so Message Center has some primary real estate in there, and we're excited about that because, you know, customers asked us for a way to see the highlights and important changes in a way they could quickly take action on them. So right from the homepage, we've got a Message Center widget. It shows key changes, the number, you know, customers asked us about, you know, how do I see the count of how many changes I've looked at or not looked at. So a lot of that's bubbled up here. And right from here, you can, you know, pop into a change post directly and choose to take some actions on it, or, you know, navigate to the entire Message Center, where here, you know, we've generally tried to make it easier to filter and stay on top of the changes that are there. We get a lot of feedback that we've got a lot of value coming to our customers, but we can do work to make the usability of how you stay on top of that better. And so in that spirit, we've added the ability to filter the Message Center posts by if you're planning for change or if you've dismissed the messages. There's, you know, unread notifications, and, you know, simple ask was to be able to dismiss old messages. And so we did that, and I know that customers have been appreciative of that. And, you know, that's one way of sort of staying in control of the volume of communications, but we also want to make it more relevant to you. And we've introduced the way a mechanism for you to go and change the mix of the apps and services that you see in the Message Center. And these settings are admin specific. So if you're really focused on SharePoint or you're really focused on Exchange, you can use these settings to configure what you will see notifications about and messages in the Message Center about. And then next, I'm going to show another feature, which is about translation. So we've got a lot of customers and, you know, Far East markets that have asked, told us, hey, we'd like to stay on top of changes, but they come out in English, and we'd like to see them as quickly as everybody else. And so we thought about what we could do to sort of make that happen. You know, traditionally, the human localization process for UI can lag a little bit, and so we want to see if we could get faster than that and do it on the fly. And so in the settings UI, you can specify your preferred language. In this case, you know, this user said Japanese. And so if you look at this screen, you can see that the navigation for the suite, the nav bar and the bar on the left, is shown in Japanese. But the Message Center content is still in English. And so, you know, if you set your preferred language in that dropdown to Japanese and click it, we translate the list and the message in our post to Japanese. And we don't only support Japanese, we support multiple languages, but in this case, it's to Japanese, and we made this happen by using Bing translation APIs. So our customers that have used this have given us a lot of positive feedback because it really gets them going quickly, unblocks them, and they're on top of changes, you know, as fast as they'd like to be. So how do you give us feedback? So feedback is really important to us at every level. You've heard earlier that feedback goes directly to our product teams, and we can't emphasize how much we actually use that in our day-to-day operations. So the one simple thing that we did, but super valuable, is to add like and dislike to the bottom of the Message Center post. So you can give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down based on, you know, what you see. But we really love when you give us verbatim feedback. So the context of why you don't like something is profoundly useful and is used in all our planning processes and when we look at, you know, triaging issues and whatnot. But if you give us the ability to reply back, this is where you actually enable a conversation directly with our product team. And this is something we're really excited about because it enables not just, you know, you getting your questions addressed, it enables an ongoing relationship in where you get to influence the actual construction of features. And so this is an example where a customer sent us some feedback that went directly to the SharePoint team about copying files and folders from OneDrive to SharePoint. And this customer actually wanted the opposite. And so they asked us, hey, this is what I want. And when are you going to get it? And so the team actually responded back. And they were happy to say that, well, that other feature is actually on our roadmap. So it's coming. But the great thing is sometimes when you reach out to our teams, you know, in this easy way, is you learn a little bit more. And in this case, the team said, hey, we're also working on a, you know, new generation sync client. And so this is a small interaction, but we actually have quite a few of these. And so what's interesting is that, you know, you can project that when you get to know, work with our product teams directly, you will learn about new things, you will get a chance to influence more than just perhaps the feature you gave feedback on. So now I'm going to switch gears and talk a little bit about our roadmap for the next year. And so, you know, we have been thinking hard about what we should do next. And in the next year, we're really focused on two big things. The first is to continue to keep you aware of changes and notify you without you having to do a lot of work to go stay on top of it, right? And so we mentioned the mobile notifications earlier. Continuing in that vein, we're working on something called the Change Intelligence Report, which in its first incarnation, and this will evolve over time, is to give you a weekly digest of all the changes that are relevant to your tenant. And you know, you'll see in the screen over there, there's some highlighting about there's a new change available for preview, and some changes will be emphasized to indicate their impact to you versus perhaps less impact. But overall, you'll get these changes on a weekly basis, and you'll be able to control the relevance of them by configuring where it gets sent to and what apps and services get included in it. And then once we've let you know about changes, you know, either on your phone or through email, so you know what's coming, we want you to be able to actually take action on trying it out. And so with first release, we're announcing an actionable preview period. And you may be wondering, well, we have first release now, can't I try features out there? And the answer is yes. But we've gotten some feedback from customers. Two points specifically. The first is that is really about consistency. So there are features that we think are big. And perhaps they go to first release and you can try them out. But there are features that perhaps our teams did not believe were large changes and they have not gone through first release. So there is some inconsistency about how well we've sent features to first release and some opportunity for us to get better. The second is whether the preview period is actually actionable. And so the actionability of the features being in first release means you have to know about it on time, and it has to be there long enough for you actually to play with it and give us feedback. Excuse me. And so what we're working on is essentially enforcing both identifying changes that are major and having a codified way of identifying those and giving feedback to our teams, and then enforcing that all such changes go to first release for an enforced period of time. The duration will be variable based on the type of change that it is. Like, it's not going to be one size fits all. And essentially, you'll get an early announcement that the features are going to first release, as well as a targeted notification that the preview period is going to start. This is something we believe strongly is going to be valuable for all our apps and services in Office 365. At launch, we're going to be starting with Exchange Online, with the goal of scaling it out over time. And so I thought it might be worthwhile to sort of walk you through the flow of how this would work for a team who's building a new app or a new feature. And so the team is going to start off early in their planning process. They're going to visit the Change Management Council with Mike, myself, Karan, and Brian, and others from across the company. And they're going to sort of share their plans about what they're going to do, how their features are going to work. And they're going to get some feedback, and first questions about what they're building, what data they create, and you heard some of those questions earlier, but there's a lot more, and a lot more specific ones. But after they go through that, they'll get a recommendation. Our change management council will advocate on your behalf to encourage these teams to say, okay, it looks like you've got a major change. Here's the amount of time we've historically heard customers need, or this looks like it's even bigger, so perhaps you should plan on more time. And so those inputs will come together in terms of a recommendation on how long of a preview period to offer our customers. So the team is going to go off and finish building their features, and then they're going to be ready to, at some point along that way, not necessarily before the feature is done, but there'll be announcements saying it's coming. And so now you've sort of got that awareness it's on the way. When the feature has gone through all those rings and is ready to hit first release, that's when you'll get a notification either on your phone or via the message center saying that we're ready to go. And this is exactly when we'd like you to get in there and start playing with the features and give us feedback. And the feedback would range from, qualitative about the scenarios to the impact of the change, and also potentially if you believe you need more time to prepare. And the context of why you need more time would be really helpful to our team so they can adjust. And after the feature has spent the appropriate amount of time in this ring, in first release select people, we'd feel ready to move on to GA, to your users. So now I'm going to invite Karan to come up, and he's going to take you through a demo of some concepts that may change, but I think will illustrate what things will look like from your perspective using our tools.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Jeremy. I'm a senior program manager in the Change Lifecycle team, directly responsible for Message Center and the first release program. Jeremy gave us an overview of some of the technologies that we plan to build to enable admins to stay on top of major changes. This includes helping you be aware of major changes, helping you try out changes before they are released to your end users, and also, most importantly, providing us early feedback so we can ship the changes in the best format. Now, I want to take you through a visual walkthrough of what this would really mean in terms of the admin experience. Let's assume we are shipping the SharePoint Modern List, which was a significant UI update, through our next generation communication and preview pipeline. On July 6th, you would get an initial announcement of the upcoming feature, SharePoint Modern List, which is typically 30 to 60 days before the feature begins to roll out, so that it gives enough time for you. Now, what's going to be different now is that you wouldn't need to poll Message Center every time to make sure that you don't miss an important communication like this, because you will get the weekly change digest report in your inbox, which will make it super easy for you to stay on top of changes. On the change digest report, you will notice that important changes like SharePoint Modern List and Outlook Focus Inbox are highlighted with a red band to draw your attention. This is a message that admins, this is an important change, and admins might need to prepare for these changes in advance. Now, you can click on an individual change on this digest report to directly go to the details, or you could click at the link on the bottom to go to message center so you can look at all of these changes in greater detail. On message center, you will notice that major changes like SharePoint Modern List, Outlook Focus Inbox, and so on are highlighted above all other changes in a carousel. And you will see that all of them are in upcoming state right now. When these changes become available for your preview, these changes will be lit up and you will see a clear preview period, as we will see in the upcoming screenshots. So let's click into SharePoint Modern List to learn more about this change. Now, although we have communicated this change to be a major one because we believe you might need to prepare for it, but if you feel that this change is not relevant to you or not important, we give you an opportunity to unfollow any future updates about this change at this point. You will also notice that the description of the change is much richer than what you see today. You will have training material, you will have images, videos, and a rich description of what the change is, what admins need to do to prepare for this change. But also, the goal here is to not only enable you to take the actions that you need to take, but also share this communication with the rest of your organization and even end users so that you can help them train and be more productive using the new features that we are communicating. Now, let's assume 1 month passes by and the SharePoint team in Microsoft is working hard to get this new feature ready for the end users. And 1 month later, on August 8th, the SharePoint Modern List feature is released for preview of the first release select users. Now, I have an important call to action here. If you're an admin who cares about preparing for major changes before they are released to end users, please go back and sign up for the first release select users program. Because if you are a first release select admin, you will get a mobile notification on the mobile admin app that'll tell you when SharePoint Modern List or any major feature or app is available for your preview. You will also notice that now we will be giving you a clear actionable preview period. This, in this case, is between August 8th and August 20th. So that you're aware how long you have before the feature begins to roll out to your end users, so that you can plan your work, you can prepare for it in advance. In addition to the mobile app, you can also get the preview notifications on an email, because we want you to be aware of important changes like this in any format that you like or any channel that you prefer. On the preview email, you will have, in most cases, you will have a simple link that will directly take you to the app where you could try out the new feature that we are communicating about. So in this case, let's click on the preview link that you see on the email to directly go to the SharePoint app. On SharePoint, you can create a new modern list and see what the experience is like and start preparing your help desk, your end users, for this new experience. Now, it is possible that at this point, you might have some feedback about the feature itself, about the product. And you can choose to provide that feedback on SharePoint. It'll still go to the SharePoint team. But if you have any feedback about how this change was announced, whether you have any questions about the feature, or you have feedback about how this change will be released to your end users and your organization, the best place to provide that feedback is actually Message Center. So if you look at the Message Center experience at this point, before we go to the feedback, I want to highlight a couple of things. You will notice that on the carousel in the background, the change is now highlighted, and you will see the clear preview period showing up here. Now, if you want to provide feedback, it's as simple as clicking like or dislike at the bottom of the message details panel. And the feedback widget will pop open. In this case, you provide, you know, let's assume that you are very happy about how we provided you a notification about the preview and the fact that we gave you time to prepare for it, but you're not happy with the description of the change. You still have some unanswered questions and you want better documentation, right? In this case, we would really appreciate your feedback with detailed verbatim on Message Center. And when you submit this feedback, we will also appreciate if you allow us to reach back to you by checking the checkbox right below the verbatim. Now, if you submit this feedback, we make sure that this feedback directly reaches the SharePoint team, in this case, or any product team that owns the change. This feedback will not only go to the product team, but also go to Change Management Council that includes everybody that spoke on this podium. Based on this feedback, we will, if you gave us the permission, the product team or the Change Management Council will reach back to you, try to better understand your concerns, answer your questions, and incorporate your feedback into the development of the process before we release this to the end users. Now, on August 22, the preview period for the first release select users that hopefully includes all of the admins is over, and the change will begin to roll out to the rest of the world that includes your end users. Hopefully, the actionable preview period would be useful for you to prepare for the change before the change begins to roll out to the end users. Now, my hope is that this visual walkthrough would have given you a sense of how we want to make you our partners in releasing innovation for the end users. With this, I want to give the stage back to Brian.
This is really cool. Thank you, Karan. Very excited about the email digest, the preview period, and really the ongoing collaboration that we have with all of you. Of course, we've been working very hard and we have a lot of action to take still, but we'd be a little bit remiss if we didn't have a call to action for you as well. Install the admin app on your mobile devices. Use it. Give us feedback. Join the first release select people. That will give you access to this preview period. Our best practices, what we like to recommend, is to use first release select people for your IT pros, for your power users, for those who are want to test out the changes and drive adoption within their teams and their units. And then, of course, please, please provide communications feedback. We've talked a lot about the changes we've made within the message center, within the admin portal to make this possible, and we really, truly cannot overstate how important it is. And I know most of you have phones with you. A lot of people have been taking pictures. Here's a good one to take a screen capture of. A number of resources where we'll continue to update and provide information, training. Again, the blogs are our newspaper. The Office 365 technical network is made up of users like you, IT pros, end users, as well as Microsoft product teams, as well as MVPs and partners. Plan for functionality coming in the future. Check the roadmap. Use the message center. The Fast Track Center also contains a lot of resources and collateral to provide communications to your users. And I mentioned the tech community. Please evaluate us. Give us feedback. Did we tell you what you wanted to hear? What else do you want to see? And of course, thank you, as always. We would love to hear your feedback on the session in particular. Come ask us questions. We'll be hanging around up in the front for the next few minutes. And enjoy the rest of Ignite.